The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, TikTok Killed the Hollywood Star. The video platform has become a launching pad for Black creatives looking to grow an audience. In the past decade, a number of Black creators have become superstars due in no small part to their content going viral. Quinta Brunson, first known for her "Oh, he got money" meme, went from being a BuzzFeed phenom to a television powerhouse as creator and star of the ABC hit Abbott Elementary. Jay Versace evolved from placing comedic clips on the now-defunct app Vine to becoming a Grammy-winning producer, getting placements in songs by artists like Tyler, the Creator, and SZA. Jameer Rhys-Davis, a DJ who goes by Amorphous, took TikTok by storm with his musician mashups and has since gone on to collaborate with Kalani, Kelly Rowland, and Snow Allegra. And beauty influencer Jackie Aina has taken her massive YouTube following to retail stores, selling out eyeshadow palettes and candles, with TikTok emerging as the new frontier of social media. Since the start of the 2020s, more Black creatives and influencers are looking to dominate Hollywood as they bring their skills and talents honed on the app to the mainstream, able to attract hordes of dedicated viewers. As online wonder kinds, creators like DeAndre Brown, Cleopatra West, Michaela Jennings, and LaRon Hines have converted their TikTok fame into commercial success. When Brown started his TikTok under the moniker The Corporate Baddie, his goal was to educate minorities about gaining access to the white-collar corporate ladder. But the Morehouse College alum also gave viewers a look at professionalism with a generational perspective. When you consider social media and TikTok, there are a lot of creators who are within the corporate realm. But I think what makes my platform unique is that there aren't a lot of Black creators who do this, Brown says. And as a Black creator who also makes content about corporate America, my perspective is unique because I do it from a Gen Z lens. He also notes that his corporate baddie persona has received significant attention for portraying the singular experience of being a Black professional in an office setting. Brown realized his digital landscape markability through humorous job interview skits wearing signature bespoke suits, which earned him brand deals from LinkedIn and Microsoft even before he had an agent. My videos are informative, but they have a comical approach to them as well, which I think makes it easier for people to digest, Brown says. They don't feel like they're just being thrown information that could be kind of boring. When you're on TikTok and you're scrolling and people are just giving you a list of tips, I think because my videos are entertainment as well, they are more relatable for the audience. Hines, 21, jump-started his TikTok platform by transforming his adoring God brother persona into school-age digital darling Jabria McCollum and expanding his Are You Smart? Improv game show to include celebrities. The Mississippi native's charming approach earned him a spot on the 2022 Forbes Top Creators list, and it has since brought his musical talents to the forefront. Hines, who has heard the criticism of TikTok stars becoming overnight sensations, points out there's much more to the process than simply recording a clip lasting 1 minute or less. The difference between social media and other forms of entertainment like acting and music is that the window of opportunity is much quicker because people's attention spans are shorter online, says Hines. If I post a TikTok and disappear for a month, people will already have forgotten who I am. It's just one of those things where I feel like people don't realize there's a lot of work that goes into social media. You have to be continuously creative. Although Hines achieved a Forbes ranking, no Black creators were among the highest earning TikTokers. The top five spots went to white influencers, even though KB Lame, a Senegalese immigrant in Italy who ranked at number 8, was named the most followed personality on the app. When it comes to Black TikTok, a lot of content is only relatable to us because we have such a unique experience as Black people, and Black content creators only have a certain group of people they can really gravitate toward, says Hines. I think that's what makes it so beautiful, that even though we aren't making all these highest earning lists, we are still able to be very successful and to thrive within our spaces. For his part, Brown refuses to take the undervaluing of Black producers personally. I'm going to be successful and go far, whether I'm on a top creator list or not, he says. I want other Black creators to view it in the same way. We don't need to consistently be comparing ourselves to our white counterparts. Granted, they get more than us. We see that, but we are in a different lane, and our impact is huge, whether some people see it or not. Black women on TikTok, like West and Jennings, have also focused their energy on turning their presence into profit, building personable and relatable brands that express their authenticity. Honing in on her craft as a quintessential straight talker, West 24 had to dig deep when her TikTok started to blow up for her amusing delivery and leonine fierceness. The Staten Island, New York-based influencer has long observed the decline in popularity from TikTokers who took their foot off the proverbial gas as internet celebrities. Everybody who's really talented and really on social media, they are playing with it, says West. They have a following, but they are playing with it, and they really need to take that seriously. A lot of people before me fell off because they didn't take it seriously. My whole thing with that is, you gotta keep on creating. You gotta keep on thinking big, but people think small. Yeah, you gained some followers, but what do you want to do now? Continuing her real talk, West adds that aspiring TikTokers should be prepared to create a wave that will provide them with sustenance, both online and IRL. People need to realize something too. You're here for a good time, not a long time, she says. You are going to have your 5 seconds, but all that matters is what you're going to do with those 5 seconds. You may not become a big household name, but at least you may turn that into some sort of profit. People are always going to be able to separate raw talent from 5 seconds of fame. Give it a year, probably give it less. People fade. Like, if you don't have it, you don't have it. Jennings, better known as K Not Bang, also specializes in clever, diaristic taglines that have since become viral sound bites. The Florida-raised tastemaker's popularity grew when she hit back at a commenter who ridiculed her hairstyle. They just kept saying, I don't like it. I am not seeing the vision. So I replied to that comment and I was like, basically, it's not for you. The girls that get it, and the girls that don't, don't. Jennings says, then somebody was like, can you make that part of a sound? So I made it a sound, and then boom, it was all she wrote after that. Soon after, Jennings noticed that the slogan took on a life of its own, used by other influencers, models, and even fashion brands like Boohoo. By ultimately trademarking the line, Jennings returned the TikTok traction to her platform. I know I'm smart and I knew it was catchy, but I didn't know people could really make millions of dollars off you without you even knowing, says Jennings. At first, I wasn't even asking for money. Just put my face on my words. Don't ever try to separate my face from my words. With TikTok boasting an increasing takeover by Black creators, it is predicted that even more of them will meet the moment as influencers proceed to music, television, and film deals, bringing their originality to the wider entertainment business. People don't realize we are the trend setters, Hines says. We kind of create the waves as opposed to riding them. From every dance challenge, even outside of social media, to our clothing styles, hairstyles, everything. I feel like it's very important to inspire Black creators because as people are beginning to realize, we are the start of it all. The next article is from BlackEnterprise.com and the title of the article is North Carolina's First Black-Owned Children's Bookstore set to open its doors for the first time. The bookstore will be offering high-quality children's books written and illustrated by none other than Black and underrepresented authors and illustrators. The store will be divided into carefully thought-out sections featuring works about the voyage of the transatlantic map, the exploration of Black childhood, banned stories written by the likes of James Baldwin and Toni Morrison, and more. The next article is titled Back to the Future, from a generations-spanning memoir to a lyrical look at the lives we create when no one is watching. These books will take you on a journey through time and space. Poetic License, the first in a series recovering the out-of-print words of Black poets whose work shaped the 19th and 20th centuries. Minor Notes, Volume 1, draws a bright line between the creations of the past and those of today's bards, curated by Joshua Bennett and Jesse McCarthy, while featuring a foreword from former poet laureate Tracy K. Smith, the book centers clear, resonant voices like that of Angelina Wild Grimkiss, who ruminates joyfully on the beauty of living in a black body. Gone Boy, on his 37th birthday, Osro Armstead walked out the front door of his home in a northern suburb of Detroit and never came back, leaving the lines of those who loved him into before and after. Anissa Gray's Life and Other Love Songs moves back and forth through time and changes perspective of Armstead's wife and daughter, slowly unearth the life he left behind. This novel wields themes of generational trauma, class, and race as pickaxes, excavating a black family's history and making room for the future to bloom. Not forgotten, when Dionne Ford found a photo of her ancestors online, it sparked a 7-year voyage to uncover the stories of the people in it, including her great-great-grandfather, a plantation owner, and great-great-grandmother, an enslaved woman on that plantation. Go Back and Get It, a memoir of race, inheritance, and intergenerational healing, chronicles her physical and emotional journey, exploring the ways racist trauma manifests not just in society, but also in families. Now You See Me, in their essay collection, Letters to a Writer of Color, Deepa Anapara and Taimur Somoro cultivate a community for melanated readers and the writers who create for them. These 17 craft-focused pieces touch on everything, from the freedom that comes with a strong sense of self to telling stories no one is prepared to hear. The unifying thread is a pulsating need to construct a world where we are rendered whole and vivid on the page. Stormy Weather. In Weathering the Extraordinary Stress of Ordinary Life in an Unjust Society, public health activist and scientist Arlene T. Jeromius, PhD, draws on her research to shine a light on what it means to age as a black person in the United States. She coined the term weathering in 1992 to describe the ways systemic oppression damages black women's bodies over time. In her book, she takes her hypothesis a step further to examine specific impacts from disproportionate COVID-19 deaths to rising maternal mortality rates. The next article is titled Her Story and Heritage. Essence CEO Caroline Wanga explores black women as chief executive officers of home, culture, and community, and focuses on helping every black woman recognize the chief that already exists within her by introducing the ones who live among us. During his time in the White House, President Joe Biden has made a number of decisions that have drawn both praise and criticism. Among them has been his administration's commitment to diverse hiring. Biden has made several historic appointments, and his choice of Karine Jean-Pierre as White House press secretary made waves in a number of communities as the first black LGBTQIA+ woman to serve in the position. Jean-Pierre is deeply aware she is opening doors. She takes her place proudly, citing other black women associated with the administration, including Vice President Kamala Harris, the first black woman to take on that role, and Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, the first black woman to sit on the United States Supreme Court. Jean Pierre says each appointment was approached with intention. The president understood what it meant to have that type of representation, she explains, and not just on the court. We have Latino representation, AAPI representation. We have people from the LGBTQIA+ community, and all of that matters. It is historic. In almost every corner of the administration, you see that representation, and it's purposeful. An immigrant born to Haitian parents, Jean Pierre has wit, confidence, and a powerful voice that reaches to every part of the world. While the role comes naturally to her, she never loses sight of the fact that when she speaks, Americans are watching a black woman present information and field questions crucial to the operation of the most powerful country in the world. Her word is her bond, and everyone is listening. When not addressing the nation, she keeps herself grounded with images in her office of the other history-making women walking alongside her. One print of Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson was given to her by Jaleesa Renaso Pantaleon, the First Lady's former Chief of Staff and the current U.S. Ambassador to Spain. She looks at the images throughout the day for inspiration. They are also a reminder that she didn't get where she is alone, and that she wants to help the women coming after her to make history too. Caroline Wanga mentioned, "We've talked a lot about you wanting to do as much as you can in this role. If you were to tell people about your time in the role in the form of a press briefing, what would you say?" Karine Jean-Pierre replied, "Wow, that's such a powerful question, and I hope I have a little bit longer in this role. If I were to do this in a press briefing, I'd say to folks who are out there that representation matters. I hope that me being at the podium really changes the perspective of young girls, and not just young girls, but also young boys of color and people everywhere who have been told many times during their life, like I have, that they couldn't do something, that they were not supposed to be where they dreamed of being. This has been a journey for me. Never would I have ever thought at 5 years old, at 8, at 10, at 21, that I would be standing here at this podium speaking on behalf of the President of the United States, the most powerful person in the world, the leader of the free world, and not only speaking for him, but speaking to him and to the American people about what he wants to do to deliver on his promises, to deliver on his platform. Caroline Wanga responded, "It is a mindset." Jean Pierre mentioned, "You could be anywhere in your life if you're having a hard time and you're thinking, I'm not going to make it. This is too hard. I don't know if I am worthy. I hope by seeing me in this role throughout my tenure gives people hope, gives people inspiration. Understand, my journey was not easy. It was very difficult. Even now, I am the daughter of immigrants. My mom and my dad helped me throughout my career, and especially when I was young. They are the reason that I am able to do this every day. Whether it's the Black community, Black women, whether it's the immigrant community, whether it's the LGBTQIA plus community, these are communities that lift me up every day. Every time that I see them, every time I go out of the DMV area and have real conversations with people, these are just some of the communities that I represent. Caroline Wagner asked the question, "The voice speaking for the most powerful man in the world is a Black queer immigrant woman. You talked about how part of your strength in this role is because of the communities that surround you and these identities. When you say you're being in this role is on purpose, that it's intentional, what do you mean?" Jean-Pierre responded, "Let me first talk about the ancestors and the people on whose shoulders I stand, who have given so much for many of us to now be in historic roles. Not just this one. That matters, right? They are why we can succeed and break down barriers. There are many people who came before us who suffered, who bled, who died to make sure that we can be where we are in our lives, to break this glass ceiling. And to do that work, even before me, there was Judy Smith, who was the deputy press secretary who..." Caroline Wanga interrupted and said, "She was the inspiration for Scandal. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the real Olivia Pope." Jean-Pierre said, "The real Olivia Pope. She was the first Black woman to stand behind this podium for a televised press briefing." Caroline Wanga said, "My last question. You have talked a lot about the meaning of you being in this role. For you, for the communities that you're part of, for the communities we all exist in, and what you are committed to giving of yourself. As you continue to sit in the seat of servant leadership that you have articulated so well, what do you want other people to do? What do you want them to say? How do you want them to be? How do you want them to exist as a part of extending what you are doing in this role?" Jean-Pierre responded, "That's another great question. I've actually thought about this many times, and I've given it different answers. I think the first thing is I want people to understand that they need to be bold, be brave, and going after their passion is incredibly important." Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.